reaching new heights in Ontario's pandemic recovery. Back to business at some of the city's most popular spots. Another sign of progress in what has been a towering challenge for so many. Good evening. The CN Tower is among the attractions once again welcoming visitors.
The move is being called hugely important milestone in bringing some vibrancy back to Toronto's downtown core. CTV's Sean Leithong is live along Bremner Boulevard with more. Sean?
Well, Pauline and Nathan, this area had been quiet for so many months. Lockdowns meant that this area was completely idle, but now there's a little bit of life back. Standing high atop the city, Toronto's most recognizable landmark is no longer sitting idle. With the doors to the CN Tower opening once again and visitors lining up, expressing some familiar fears.
I'm kind of scared.
Why is that? I'm
scared of heights.
It's been months since visitors were able to make the 346-meter trip up to take in the view, with some experiencing it for the first time.
It feels extremely cool.
Maya Alassadi has been asking her father, Mohammed, for months to come up, but were prevented by the pandemic.
Every day, I want to go to CN Tower, I want to go to CN Tower. So I told her, when it's open, I will take you right away.
Because I did a lot of researches in class, and I found it's so cool to come up here.
Capacity for the CN Tower is greatly reduced. Pre-COVID capacity was between 10 and 12,000 people per day. Now 2,500 visitors per day will be allowed.
Ticket sales are aggressive. Edgewalk is sold out today already. I know we have a lot of reservations for the restaurant when 360 reopens on the 29th of July.
Tickets are sold by time to allow for social distancing. But the opening of the CN Tower is just the beginning, and long lines like this one can be expected over the next few weeks. Ripley's Aquarium is open to annual pass holders today and the general public tomorrow.
We've been closed like 340 days over the last year and a half, so it's been challenging because we had to maintain the building, we had to maintain the water quality, and of course the fish.
Ripley's will be reduced to 50% of their usual capacity, with 25% of tickets pre-sold and 25% reserved for walk-ups. There is also the Blue Jays, who are returning to Rogers Centre next week. Both the CN Tower and Ripley's Aquarium require visitors to follow COVID-19 mask guidelines, but no proof of vaccination is required. Some, like Dolores Gonzalez, whose family is visiting from Montreal, say that this time is a chance to appreciate what has been missing for the past 18 months.
Now that things are reopening and everything, we have the opportunity to meet new people, meet new places, have new experiences, and that's great.
So whether it's their first time here or a return after lockdown, each visitor can see the city from a different perspective. And you can see evidence of the vibrancy right behind me. This line for the CN Tower has been building and retracting all day as visitors are eager to go up. Reporting live, I'm Sean Leithong. Pauline, I'll send it back to you.
Thanks, Sean. In Niagara Falls, two of Ontario's largest and busiest casinos are back in operation today. Fallsview Casino and Casino Niagara have been closed since March 2020. They were eligible to open last summer during that brief window when social protocols around COVID-19 were relaxed, but the companies chose to stay shut. Rules for casinos include a 50% capacity limit, plexiglass barriers at table games, and contact tracing. Well, we've been told for months that so much of Ontario's reopening timeline depends on vaccination rates.
Public health experts now targeting those who still haven't rolled up their sleeves. Across the province, more than 120,000 vaccine doses were administered yesterday, increasing Ontario's total to nearly 18.5 million. More than 17,000 of those shots were first doses, raising the number of partially vaccinated people to more than 10.3 million. And the vast majority, more than 102,000, were second shots, meaning nearly 8.4 million are fully vaccinated in Ontario. And for those looking for their turn, there's no shortage of supply.
So much so, it's even prompting concern among some about vials possibly going to waste. CTV's Natalie Johnson reports.
1, 2, 3, boom, you're done.
Inside this East End PharmaSave, Pfizer shots are still going into arms. But about 350 doses of the Moderna vaccine will go to waste here if they're not used before their August 2nd expiry date.
It's simply immoral. It is just sinful to take life-saving vaccines and toss them in the bin.
The owner has no choice but to pitch them if they are not used before then, questioning why these doses can't be shipped off to other jurisdictions that are starving for COVID vaccines.
It's going to be gut-wrenching knowing that this could have saved a lot of lives in other countries.
Skepticism around mixing and matching doses, combined with misinformation about Moderna, have led to declining demand here at home. But there is no protocol for donating soon-to-expire shots to others in need, in part due to quality control and cold chain custody requirements.
While it is a shame if we do end up wasting, the extraction process is very complex and very time-consuming once the supply is distributed into the channel.
The Ontario Ministry of Health telling CTV News, we are working with our local partners to facilitate redistribution of doses to ensure they are focused in areas of need, and with our federal partners to explore vaccine donation opportunities in the future. Health Canada adding that work is underway to develop options for excess doses, particularly in certified depots where integrity can be assured.
When doses expire, it's moral injury for us. The doses need to be reallocated from the top. So before they land on Canadian soil, they need to be redirected to where they need to go.
Back at the pharmacy, owner Carol Masse says he'd be willing to drive these doses anywhere.
For so long, they were liquid gold, but they still are in many jurisdictions, and we need to keep that in mind.
To ensure they go into arms and not the trash. Natalie Johnson, CTV News.
Meanwhile, University Health Network says any employees who are not vaccinated must show a negative COVID-19 test before showing up for work. A spokesperson tells CTV News the hospital network is in the process of implementing the new policy and hopes to have it in effect by August 9th. All staff will have to either disclose their vaccination status or formally indicate that they do not want to disclose it. Those who do not will have to take a rapid test and report the result at least 48 hours before their shift.
When it comes to the COVID-19 case count, the province is seeing another slight increase. 192 new cases are reported today, up from 185 yesterday. It brings Ontario's total to nearly 549,000 over the course of the pandemic. 147 more cases are considered resolved, pushing that figure to nearly 538,300. And one more death is linked to the virus, meaning 9,308 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
Across the GTA, 43 new cases are logged in the city of Toronto, with 25 in Peel Region and 18 in York Region. Both Durham and Hamilton have 11 new cases, with 5 in Niagara Region and 4 in Halton.
Just ahead, pageantry amid a pandemic is game on at the Tokyo Olympics with a muted opening ceremony. Canadians preparing to put their best foot forward.
And turning first to new developments in the death of Toronto Police Constable Jeffrey Northrup, the veteran officer killed in the line of duty earlier this month. For the first time, we are hearing from the legal team representing the man charged in the case.
Investigators have called the act intentional and deliberate, but Umar Zamir's lawyer is asking the public to keep an open mind. CTV's Austin Delaney's live outside the old City Hall courts with more. Austin.
Well, the lawyer who's representing the man accused of killing that Toronto police officer says his client is offering a very different story than what police are saying.
The lawyer representing the 31-year-old man charged with killing a Toronto police officer says Umar Zamir and his family offer their sincere condolences to the family of Constable Jeffrey Northrup.
It goes without saying that this is a terrible, terrible tragedy for all of those involved.
The 31-year veteran of the Toronto Police Force was laid to rest a week ago Monday. Thousands of officers from across Canada paid their respects at the funeral held at BMO Field. Northrup leaves behind a wife and three children. The 52 Division plainclothes officer was killed answering a call for a robbery in the City Hall Underground early on the morning of July 2nd. Investigators allege Zamir purposely drove his vehicle at the officer. Zamir's lawyer asked people to keep an open mind about the case.
When this matter goes to trial, the complete story of what took place in that City Hall parking lot will emerge. It would be a mistake to assume that Mr. Zamir is guilty just because he's been charged with a very serious offense, or because a dedicated public servant died on the job during this tragic event.
Zamir is charged with the first-degree murder of Constable Northrup, first-degree being automatic in the killing of a police officer in the line of duty.
It is important that you recognize that thus far you have been told only of an allegation, devoid of any context or detail about what is said to have taken place. When this matter goes to trial, the evidence, not conjecture, not speculation, will fill in that detail and context.
Zamir's lawyer asking that no one rush to judgment of his client.
And Toronto police said they had no comment on the lawyer's statement today. Zamir was supposed to make an appearance in court today. Instead, he stayed at the jail. His lawyer set a new date for next month. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
All right, thank you, Austin. A homicide investigation is underway tonight after a woman was stabbed and killed inside a Toronto apartment building. Emergency crews were called to Culford Road just before 3 this morning. That's near Lawrence and Black Creek Drive. When they arrived, they found a woman dead at the scene. One person was taken into custody, and police say there are no outstanding suspects. No names have been released, and the homicide unit continues to investigate.
5 city councillors have signed a letter to the mayor demanding an end to extreme shows of force in dismantling encampments. The letter comes after police clashed with protesters while clearing out encampments near Alexandra Park and Lamport Stadium earlier this week. The councillors wrote in anticipation of an encampment at Moss Park possibly being dismantled in the coming days.
All right, a feel-good update tonight to the story of little Yorkie, who got between her owner and a coyote in Scarborough. Now, this is 6-year-old Macy reunited with her family, leaving the animal hospital this afternoon. She's still recovering from a terrifying incident on Tuesday. Macy, you may remember walking with 10-year-old Lily Kwan when the two were approached by a coyote near Warden and St. Clair. Home security video shows the dog appear to protect Lily. Macy was badly hurt in the attack, needing surgery.
She's super brave, and I love what she did for me, especially in the incident of a coyote attack.
Were you surprised by what she did?
Yes.
Why?
Because the small dog tried to protect me against this huge coyote trying to defend herself.
A GoFundMe campaign's been launched to help pay the family's vet bills. It's now raised more than $23,000.
Wow.
Well, Nalini Sharma is here with a look at the current conditions. Hi, Nalini.
Hi, Pauline. Well, we've had a really lovely Friday afternoon. It's a bit humid out there, but at least we've been on the quiet side. The winds have been a little bit breezy, providing a bit of relief from the heat that's built in for this Friday. We're nice and quiet with a decent overnight low for tonight into the teens. We're looking at temperatures right now sitting just shy of about 30 degrees for much of the lower Great Lakes, anywhere from about 27 to 28 degrees for the most part. As we take a look at London, for example, sitting at 28, Brantford 30. As we take a look at what we have right now in the GTA, in and around, 24 is the temperature at the islands and 28 with the Humidex, 25 at Pearson, 28 with the Humidex as well. And the winds right now expected light overnight. 17 is the expected overnight low. We do have a line of shower activity for tomorrow, as well as the risk of thunderstorms. A full look at that in the next few minutes.
Thanks very much, Nalini. Let the games begin. The Tokyo Olympics are officially underway following today's opening ceremony.
But there are already more signs that this will be an Olympics like no other. CTV's Joy Malbin reports from the host city.
Outside the opening ceremonies, the fear and anger over these Olympic Games grew so loud, some could hear the chanting inside a near empty stadium. The parade of athletes waving to the TV cameras. No live fans, not during a pandemic. Marching for Canada, just a fraction of its 370 athletes waving the pride, Miranda Iyam and Nathan Hirayama. Back home, families forced to celebrate virtually, like wrestler Jordy Steen's mom.
He knew we were all here watching, so I think he got a kick out of that.
Earlier, hundreds lined up outside taking selfies and marveling at the brand new stadium they were not invited to.
Yeah, I think it's a mixed feeling, right? Because as residents of Japan, we're not able to go and enjoy it. And we know that, you know, COVID cases are going up.
Even though these Olympic Games have officially begun, these protesters here say they're not giving up the fight.
Cancel the Olympics!
The Japanese are overwhelmingly opposed to hosting these Olympics. Already more than 100 people linked to these games have tested positive. And many fear this could become a super spreader.
We are in the middle of the, amid the pandemic, as you know, and Tokyo is under state of emergency. It's crazy. It's abnormal.
Yet the games go on, mixing worry with high hopes on the world stage. Joy Malvin, CTV News, Tokyo.
Canada will have its first chance to win a medal tonight.
Our athletes began competition today with some Canadians making waves in the water. CTV's Akshay Tandon has the details.
Even before the ceremony began, Canada's rowers were putting on a show of their own. Trevor Jones, Carling Zeman, and Gabrielle Smith and Jessica Sevick are all advancing to the next round. Canadian Sports Hall of Famer Roger Jackson won rowing gold in 1964. He's keeping his expectations modest for the Tokyo contingent.
My goal really from a developmental standpoint would be to see several boats make the six boat finals. And then anybody has an opportunity in the final to try to get to a medal position.
Canada's first shot at a medal comes tonight in the men's road race at the Fuji International Speedway. Cyclist Mike Woods of Ottawa likes his chances.
Certainly, being in contention for a medal is a possibility. I need to have some good luck and I need to have, some things go my way and have a really good day. But it's a good course for me.
Two of Canada's brightest medal hopefuls are Sarah Pavan and Melissa Jimena Paredes. The duo enters the games ranked number one by the International Beach Volleyball Federation. Pavan's mom and dad are cheering them on back home in St. Catharines, Ontario.
Just feel sad that we can't be there to support her. Very nervous for her. And I'm sure she's probably nervous as well.
If Mel and her play their best, they will win. Because when they're both playing well, they're a very difficult team to deal with. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Pavan and Jimena Paredes and 368 other Canadian athletes will carry that hope with them as their Olympic journey begins this weekend. Akshay Tandon, CTV News.
Some of Team Canada's biggest success is expected in the pool. We all know the name Penny Oleksiak, but what about Summer McIntosh?
Plenty of eyes are focusing on the 14-year-old whose path from Etobicoke to Tokyo has been nothing less than eventful. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live with more. Scott.
Well, Nathan, this street in Etobicoke is normally very quiet. Likely that will not be the case very early Monday morning when Summer McIntosh dives into the pool and begins her Olympic career.
Beneath this exterior, calm exterior, I have sheer panic.
Being the parent of an Olympian is stressful, even more stressful when you're forced to cheer on your child from the other side of the globe.
I think when we actually start watching, it'll seem a lot harder. And, you know, we'll be cheering from abroad. It'll definitely be a very different experience than any other Olympics.
Summer McIntosh is Canada's youngest Olympian in Tokyo at just 14 years old. She started swimming competitively at age 8 and has already broken more than 50 Canadian age group records.
Summer McIntosh, the 14-year-old potential superstar.
Now she's in Tokyo, ready to compete in her first Olympic Games.
She's having a lot of fun from what I've heard. There's been a few challenges, of course, with anything. She's really enjoying the company of her teammates and just embracing the moment.
But getting to the Olympics hasn't been all fun for Summer. Her longtime coach died last year, and her father is recovering from cancer. Add to that a global pandemic, which delayed the games by a year.
We definitely had a conversation as a family to say, do we feel like it's safe? Do we feel like the mental part of it is going to be sufficient to be able to perform at her highest? And Summer was up for the adventure.
An adventure that includes being teammates with Penny Oleksiak, someone she met as a fan 5 years ago and will now compete alongside. Summer actually qualified for the Olympic Games by beating Penny Oleksiak in the 200-meter freestyle. She's also qualified to swim in the 800-meter freestyle. And we should tell you that athletic success runs in this family. Her mom is a former Olympic swimmer herself. Her sister is an international competitor in figure skating. And the whole family will be up bright and early when Summer swims, about 6 a.m. local time on Monday. Reporting live in Etobicoke, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Scott. Staying with sports, many groups are praising today's announcement by Cleveland's Major League Baseball team. It's decided on a new name to replace what had been viewed as dehumanizing.
You see, it has always been Cleveland. That's the best part of our name. And now it's time to unite as one family, one community, to build the next era for this team and this city, to keep watch and guard what makes this game the greatest, to come together and welcome all who want to join us. You're all Cleveland.
The team will be called the Cleveland Guardians after this season. The name was chosen from a list of nearly 1,200 options. It was inspired by a local bridge that features Guardians of Traffic sculptures. Cleveland decided to consider a name change last summer amid the social unrest that followed the killing of George Floyd.
Proud and resilient.
More fire evacuees from northwestern Ontario arrived in the GTA today. About 200 evacuees from Cat Lake First Nation arrived at Pearson Airport last night. They're now being hosted in Mississauga and elsewhere in Peel Region. The provincial government could not provide numbers on the additional evacuees expected today because it remains a fluid situation. More than 100 forest fires are burning up north, forcing hundreds of people to flee their homes. And in British Columbia, evacuation orders have been lifted for two municipalities, but they remain in place for more than 5,000 properties. Nearly 300 fires are still burning in the province, and flames have scorched more than 3,600 square kilometres since April 1st. Drought conditions persist in the southern half of BC, and the fire risk is still extreme.
They've been there nearly a month working tirelessly, but today firefighters ended their search at the site of the collapsed condo in Surfside, Florida. They left in a convoy of fire engines and other vehicles, driving slowly back to headquarters. Police and forensic specialists are continuing their work to identify human remains. At least 97 people were killed in the June 24th tragedy, including four Canadians. The cause of the collapse has not been determined. The resettlement of Afghans who worked with our military will be fast-tracked to escape retaliation from a resurgent Taliban.
The federal government made that pledge today following repeated pleas from Canadian veterans. CTV's Annie Bergeron-Oliver reports.
Weeks after a pressure campaign kicked off to get Afghans who worked with Canada and the armed forces to safety, the federal government is now taking action.
We will not leave them behind. Lives hang in the balance here, which is why we are taking timely and decisive action. Canada will do right by those who did right by us.
Government teams are currently on the ground helping to identify Afghans who may qualify for resettlement under a new special immigration program. Interpreters, drivers, cleaners, and other locally engaged staff who worked with Canada during its diplomatic or military deployments are eligible. And so are their families. The details for now are vague, but it's expected several thousand Afghans will be resettled.
This is a huge relief. It's quite emotional as well because this has been something that's been very close to my heart for nearly a decade. And to only hear crickets for 10 years, it was hard on morale.
The new program comes with no timeline and only very broad eligibility requirements. Still, it gives hope for people like this former interpreter we're calling Ali, who is desperate for help.
They came to Afghanistan. We start work with him as an interpreter. It's a good salary and a good life. When they went, American leaving the country, the situation became so bad. We are not safe.
With the Taliban gaining ground and U.S. evacuations of Afghans set to start later this month, veterans say getting this right is crucial.
They didn't set any hard boundaries in terms of who would be excluded. And I think you need to do that because the breadth of the problem is quite large, and there are going to be case-by-case examples that come up.
The United States has announced it will help evacuate about 4,000 Afghan nationals who worked with coalition forces. Today, the federal government would not say whether its evacuation would be done independently or with the help of U.S. forces. Annie Bergeron-Oliver, CTV News, Ottawa.
She won't be sworn in until Monday, but Canada's next Governor General has already had her first audience with the Queen.
So you're taking over a very important job.
Yes, I'm very privileged to be able to do this work over the next few years. I think it's vitally important for our country.
Indeed, yes.
Her Majesty met virtually with Mary Simon yesterday. The monarch bestowed several honors on the Inuk leader, including investing her as an extraordinary companion of the Order of Canada. The former diplomat will be Canada's first Indigenous Governor General. NCTV will have special live coverage of Simon's installation on Monday. Canada's 30th Governor General, the investiture of Mary Simon, will be hosted by CTV News chief anchor Lisa Laflamme. The three-hour special begins at 10 a.m. on the main network, CTV News Channel, and at ctvnews.ca.
Later tonight, a ceremony 80 years in the making. The special honors for a 100-year-old vet of the Second World War.
I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, it was once a popular option when buying a vehicle having a manual transmission, but now many car companies are no longer making stick shifts, and many people don't even know how to drive them. Is it the end of an era? I'll have my reports. That's just it.
We have a lovely Friday afternoon, evening ahead of us with nice clear skies and temperatures right now just exactly where they should be. It's a beautiful summer evening to enjoy. We've got the Humidex with the temperature sitting in the mid-20s, feeling closer to 30. But the important thing is that we remain on the dry side. This weather story will change as we make our way into the early morning hours of tomorrow. Cloud cover will build in and we do run the risk of thunderstorms into the afternoon and evening. A full check on your 7-day just after the break.
Back in 1980, roughly 35% of all vehicles sold in North America had a manual transmission. Today, that number's dropped to about 1%.
And as fewer stick shift cars are made, fewer people know how to drive them. But some owners say it's still a skill worth having. CTV's Pat Foran joins us live with Consumer Alert. Pat?
Thanks, Pauline and Nathan. Sales of manual transmissions have certainly declined. There are now more electric cars sold each year than cars with a manual gearbox. But people who drive a stick shift love them and say everyone should know how to drive a standard. Natasha DeMillis of Woodbridge loves to drive her 1967 Ford Mustang GT Fastback. It's in original condition with low mileage, and best of all for her, it's a stick shift.
What I love the most about driving a manual transmission is that you truly feel in control of the car.
She says she learned to drive stick early because her father wanted her to know how.
My dad, it was an amazing birthday gift. He actually rented a Porsche for the day to teach me manual on. It was an incredible birthday experience that I'll never forget.
The number of drivers who know how to drive a manual transmission is estimated to be less than 20% in North America and is declining each year. Some car companies have posted tutorials online to teach people how to drive a stick shift.
Third, fourth, fifth.
Hagerty Canada provides insurance for classic cars and a platform for manual transmission enthusiasts. It also periodically hosts the Hagerty Driving Experience to teach people how to drive a standard.
We're teaching about 4,000 kids a year how to drive a manual transmission.
Amy Pearson-Blay with Hagerty owns two manual transmission vehicles, a DeLorean, the Back to the Future car, and a Mazda Miata. She says knowing how to drive a stick shift is a good life skill for drivers to have.
Having the control to tell the car when to go, how fast to go, when it's going to change the gears in terms of the RPMs.
Because manual transmission vehicles are becoming more rare, they're also increasing in value. DeMillis is asked about selling her Mustang so often she has a not-for-sale air freshener. She says she has no plans to sell it.
At the end of the day, nothing beats your typical 4-speed, 5-speed, or 6-speed manual.
And while there are fewer cars with manual transmissions in North America, that's not the case in other parts of the world. In Europe, about 80% of cars are manual. So if you plan to rent a car there, make sure you get one that you know how to drive. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Street closures return for active TO this weekend. The program allows pedestrians and cyclists to take over major roadways in Toronto. This weekend's closures include Lakeshore Boulevard East between Leslie and Kew Beach Avenue, the eastbound lanes of Lakeshore West between British Columbia Road and Stadium Road, Bayview from Lorne Harris Square up to Rosedale Valley Road, and River Street between Bayview and Spruce Street.
All right, to the forecast, what about being active outside this weekend, Nalini? What can we expect?
Well, you might want to be active maybe inside for a portion of your Saturday because we are unfortunately looking at some shower activity mid-afternoon stretching into the evening. We'll get to that in just a second. But first, weather is brought to you by Trane for home comfort, cooling, and clean air. It's hard to stop a train. All right, let's take a look right now at what we have in terms of our satellite radar. Right now, we have a perfect Friday evening. The temperature is quite nice out there. There's a little bit of humidity, a nice light breeze, perfect evening to sit on a patio. Maybe not so much for tomorrow. Sunday will be the better day of the two. The line of shower activity that we're looking at is right now over the upper Great Lakes. That will shift as we make our way into tomorrow. Now, in terms of the temperature story, Sandy Lake right now, quite humid at 34. These are the types of temperatures and humidex values that we'll be seeing into Sunday, stretching into early next week. Currently, right now, the lower Great Lakes, winds are sitting at 23, feeling closer to 29. We've got Kingston, very similar. Toronto right now, 25, feeling closer to 28 degrees. Here's a check right now on what we had over the last couple of hours. Your sunrise just before 6, your sunset at 8:51. The provincial hotspot right now, we just looked at that, Sandy Lake at 31.3, again, feeling closer to about 39 with that humidex. A normal temperature for this time of the year would sit at 27, so we're exactly on the mark. Now, as we make our way into tonight, a nice clear night, 17 with the overnight low. That's normal for this time of the year, a little bit cooler outside of the GTA, anywhere from about 13 to 15 degrees. Of course, cooler up towards cottage country. Taking a look at your fronts right now, that high pressure moves out. We've got all that wet weather that will roll through tomorrow, and that triggers off also thunderstorms, not just the rain but and wind that we're expecting anywhere from about 20 to 40 kilometers an hour. This is the timeline, so we stay dry. You wake up with maybe a little bit of cloud cover, and then right there we're looking at just after 3 o'clock, showers rolling through. It sort of breaks up, redevelops again into the evening, 8:30, 9 o'clock. We're looking at showers, thunderstorms, particularly north of us, and then it clears out relatively quickly. Early Sunday, you wake up to dry conditions and the humidity again. So let's take a look at this. 7 day, and this is what we have. Temperature for tomorrow sitting at 26. It'll feel a little bit warmer than that. Again, the major weather maker for your weekend. Showers Saturday lasting until maybe midnight Sunday. You wake up to a bit of cloud cover and the humidity starts to build. You're looking at 30 degrees for the daytime high. With the humidex, it will feel closer to 35. Very similar conditions for your Monday, 29, feeling at 33. The temperature does back off slightly as we make our way into the week. However, we do run the risk of some showers. So there's a look at your weekend forecast and your 7 day.
Remembering the Oka crisis 31 years later, she was a child during the high-profile confrontation and now an adult. The filmmaker who has made an award-winning movie about her experience.
On air, online, on every platform.
A story you'll only see here.
CTV News Toronto, winner of the RTDNA Award for Best Breaking News.
Another record has been broken.
Watch weeknights at 6.
It's now been 31 years since the Oka crisis, a 78-day standoff between Mohawk protesters and police.
Filmmaker Tracy Deer was a child when it happened, and now an award-winning film inspired by her own experience is playing at Toronto's Varsity Theatre. CTV's Andrea Case reports.
What is going on here?
We're taking the bridge.
Oh, you want to use this bridge? This is Indian land!
For 78 days in the summer of 1990, Mohawk protesters faced off against Quebec police and the Canadian Army over the proposed expansion of a golf course and townhomes on a Mohawk burial ground and disputed land.
What's happening?
What happened that summer should never have happened. I don't know what it's going to take for Canadians to wake up and stop. Stop enacting this violence on our people.
Writer-director Tracy Deer was a child in the thick of it that year. Now the film Beans tells her 12-year-old self story. She says the period had a devastating effect on her self-worth and regards the film as a call to action.
It's not okay that our Indigenous kids are suffering that. I suffered. And it was a very dark adolescence. And I'm so grateful that I found my way through that. But not everybody does. And this has to stop.
Deer created scenes and used archival footage to show what the protesters faced.
I didn't want the audience to be let off the hook like that. So I wanted people to make it very clear that this happened. Mm-hmm. And the ugly you see in the fictional moments, I wanted it backed up by by actual moments.
As for the emotion she felt on the set, Dear allowed herself and her female crew to cry when it got too much.
Tracy, the survivor, Tracy, the little girl who still lives inside me. At the beginning of the day, I would often sort of put her aside and tell her, I'll be back to you. But right now, right now I have a responsibility to all of these people, and I need to do everything I can to protect them in the way that we weren't protected.
Beans is in select theaters now. Andrea Case, CTV News.
Another major international brand is cutting ties with Chinese-Canadian singer Chris Wu. Louis Vuitton is ending its contract with the pop star. He's also lost endorsements with Porsche and Bulgari. A teenager has accused Wu of plying her with alcohol in December and then having sex with her while she was drunk. He denies the allegations. Wu grew up in southern China and in Vancouver.
A settlement worth $600,000 has been reached following an investigation involving Mario Batali. The New York State Attorney General's office found there was rampant sexual harassment at Manhattan restaurants owned by the celebrity chef and his business partner. The money will be split between at least 20 former employees following incidents of groping, sexual advances, and explicit comments.
Angelina Jolie was handed a major victory today in her divorce case with Brad Pitt. A California appeals court disqualified a private judge being used by the couple. It agreed with Jolie that the judge did not sufficiently disclose business relationships he had with Pitt's attorneys. The court says that could bring into question the judge's ability to be impartial. The decision means the custody fight over the couple's five children could be starting over.
The music world lost a special talent 10 years ago today. Amy Winehouse died from alcohol poisoning at the age of 27. The British singer had a relatively brief career, but influenced a whole generation that includes Adele, Billie Eilish, Lady Gaga, and Lana Del Rey. Winehouse's second and final studio album, Back to Black, won several Grammys in 2008. It included Best Pop Vocal Album, Record of the Year, Best New Artist, and Song of the Year for her hit Rehab.
Kanye West's 10th album got a big-time listening party. And if you knew how West unveiled Donda at an event in Atlanta last night. Jay-Z collaborated with him on the project, the first time they've worked together in 5 years. The album was named after West's late mother, Donda West, who passed away in 2007. Last night's launch was packed with multiple celebrities, including his estranged wife, Kim Kardashian West, and two of their children.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
CTV Tonight. TGIF. Let's get the weekend started with an awesome lineup of shows. It all starts at 7 tonight, right here on CTV.
Well, the parade may be off, but the spirit of the Toronto Caribbean Carnival lives on. On Monday, we'll speak to the organizers of Carnival Flavors, which features food, fun, and festivity at restaurants right across the GTA. CP24 Breakfast, where Toronto gets its everything every morning.
We've done everything we can to make it a very, very safe experience for guests, and we just look forward to them coming up and enjoying the view of the city.
Updating our top stories, Toronto's most recognizable landmark is open to the public once again. The CN Tower is open for business for the first time since October 3rd.
It's simply immoral. It is just sinful to take life-saving vaccines and toss them in the bin.
Local pharmacies are concerned they may have to throw out hundreds of Moderna doses ahead of their expiry date on August 2nd. Now the province is working to redistribute the vaccines to areas with the greatest need.
She's a very smart dog, very intelligent. And maybe if it ever happens again, which I hope it doesn't, then she might do the same thing.
A 10-year-old girl's been reunited with her dog following a coyote attack earlier this week. The 6-year-old Yorkie is recovering from surgery after getting between her owner and the animal.
And remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. Well, it's been 1 week since we entered step three, which means many people are starting to head back to the gym for the first time in many months.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by co-anchors Rashmi Nair and Nick Dixon. Rashmi, this is timely. You'll be finding out how we can all prevent common fitness injuries.
Right, because when you get back into the gym, you hit those weights, Nathan, and you might get sore and pull a muscle. So we're going to talk about what it's like to be back at the gym, pacing yourself and trying to hit those targets as we all try to work off those extra pandemic pounds.
Sounds good. And you'll also be talking to a Canadian tree planter who just set a new record, Nick.
Well, imagine the aches and pains these guys are feeling, Pauline. They planted 41,560 trees in a 24-hour period. One of them planted almost 1,000 trees an hour. It's an extreme sport. They compare themselves to Olympians in terms of what they do. We've got the two men who set the record, plus their boss coming on and joining us, one from Alberta, one from BC. Should be a fascinating conversation to talk about the speed and the effort and the record. That's all coming up on CP24 tonight.
All right, sounds good. Nick and Rashmi, thank you. And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
In business, corporate earnings are top of mind for investors, with the pandemic taking a back seat. Greg Bunnell of BNN Bloomberg has the details.
Hello. It was a positive finish for North American stocks after a wild week for investors. The broad-based sell-off to start the week now looks like a blip on the map, with U.S. markets hitting new highs and the TSX closing in on its all-time record. It's earnings season, and investors are being fed a steady stream of optimism from some corporate heavyweights. And an analysis by Bloomberg shows some 87% of the S&P 500 firms that have already reported results have beaten estimates. Concerns over the Delta variant triggered that Monday sell-off, but investors are squarely focused on earnings, at least for now. Shares of Magna International came under pressure today after announcing a multi-billion-dollar acquisition in Europe. The auto parts maker is paying $3.8 billion U.S. in cash for Veoneer, which makes software and hardware for traditional and self-driving vehicles. In a note to clients, analysts at Evercore said investors will struggle with the rationale for the deal, at least in the short term. Magna shares closed the day down some 5%. Shares of Aecon Group jumped 11% higher today, that after the construction and engineering company returned to a profit in its latest quarter. Revenue jumped by 25%, and Aecon says it booked more than $1.5 billion in new business during the quarter. Now, that includes several small and medium-sized projects right here in Canada, that as the company moves past COVID-related delays. The Canadian dollar was down one basis point to 79.57 U.S. American benchmark oil gained 21 cents a barrel to close at 72.27. Alberta's heavy crude, Western Canadian Select, was up 12 cents, settling at 57.89 U.S., and the TSX Composite Index gained 91 points to close at 20,188 as tech stocks and industrials led the way higher. That's the latest from BNN Bloomberg. I'm Greg Bunnell.
And after the break, a Second World War veteran receives his medals in a special ceremony after waiting 8 decades. More on his honor in Toronto together.
Tonight, the Canadian Olympians to watch as the Summer Games begin.
I think she's just very excited to be there.
Yeah. Hometown pride for the competitors putting their best foot forward in Tokyo. Later on CTV National News.
And a reminder, the CTV News at 6 podcast is available as a download every weeknight. And you can also listen to the show live on News Talk 1010.
Get Toronto's top stories, breaking news alerts, and watch live. Download the CTV News app.
Every night at 6, we celebrate the good going on in our community and the people who are bringing Toronto together.
Most empowering way I've ever lived.
Very inspirational.
These stories that we're telling are really about people thinking beyond themselves, making donations, spreading joy, helping relieve loneliness.
Let's give them a purpose.
Toronto Together is showing that when our community comes together,
he's happy,
something special happens.
This is how communities come together to help.
Every night on CTV News.
Coming up on CP24 tonight, watching the polls. How many Canadians want a fall election? And what does it mean for the federal parties? Our political panel joins live. And back to fitness. As people return to the gym, what you need to do to prevent injuries. A closer look at today's top stories tonight at 7 on CP24.
Now to Toronto Together, where a 100-year-old Second World War veteran has been formally honored 80 years after the fact.
Adam Houston served with the Royal Corps of Signals and became a prisoner of war in 1942.
You had to think of home as you just kept it in your mind all the time.
Houston was the lone survivor of a Japanese labor camp. He kept a secret journal documenting his experiences. He says he never received his medals because of paperwork which was never filed immediately after the war.
The sergeant saw we were getting arrested and he said, "Oh, just forget the paperwork and we'll go to the canteen and have a beer." So we did, and we didn't fill up the forms. And we, so I didn't get my medals.
Houston received the 1939 to 1945 Star, the Pacific Star, the War Medal 1939 to 1945, and the Efficiency Medal for Territorial Army Service. Congratulations.
Yes, never too late. All right, Nalini, how's the weekend looking?
Sort of split. We have showers on Saturday and then a much better day on Sunday. So if you're making plans for the weekend to be out Saturday afternoon, there will be wet weather as well as thunderstorms. Right now, we have a beautiful Friday evening left ahead with the temperatures pretty much where they should be. 34 Hamilton right now with the Humidex, the GTA sitting at about 28 degrees. Humidity will back off a little bit into the overnight hours. This is the wet weather that we are looking at. And if you watch the timeline, it's about 3:34 where we see the first band of shower activity heavier into the evening. And then it clears out pretty quickly. Your temperature for tomorrow, 26. By Sunday, the temperature will feel at 35 with the Humidex. That's your forecast.
Thanks, Nalini. Be sure to join us later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight with Rashmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Nalini and all of us here at CTV News, thanks for watching, and we'll see you later.